B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mabb.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mabb.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, Felger and Mazz. I'm in the remote A-hole chair location. Mazz and Murray in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. We just gave you the reset on the quarterback situation. Building momentum for Mac Jones in the last 48 hours after it looked like he was a mile away from Cam Newton, according to some, just on Tuesday. And Cam Newton's reaction to it today was noteworthy in that he was not the same effervescent, positive, bubbly Cam Newton afterwards. Felt a little salty and defensive, which we'll play some examples of that coming up. So there's some movement on that. There's your reset on the Patriots quarterback situation, on the Celtics situation with Bradley Beal. You know, we got the answer, I think, on the thinking man's emoji with Dinwiddie.
Yes, Spencer Dinwiddie, yes.
Dinwiddie going to the Bullets. I can't believe we got a thinking man's emoji and a wife going, oh, wow, for Spencer Dinwiddie, but maybe we did. We still wonder if there's another shoe to drop with the Celtics. They haven't formally executed the which one haven't they formally executed, Stu? Which one is not officially in the books
yet? It's the Chris Dunn, Tristan Thompson three-way trade.
Okay. So that officially isn't in the books, which has led some to believe, is there something else in the hopper? Because that Dinwiddie thing turned into be part of a five-way package that involved Westbrook going to L.A. So, like, is there a shoe to drop on the Celtics? So that's another thing that's on the table as well.
Could just be as simple as the NBA gets to like the real moves first, and then we'll get to the trash moves that don't matter, you know, a few days down the road.
Okay, then there's the Red Sox, of course, and the front office submarining what could have been a pennant-winning season. They lose again today. They got throttled at a bad Tigers team, which has been playing better, but I'm sorry. The Tigers are a mid-market, mid-division, swaggy kind of team, and you just lost two out of three and got throttled today in the rubber match. So those are the three items on the board. We'll take your calls at 617-779-0985. Manny and Stone on the Patriots. Go ahead, Manny.
How you doing, Mikey?
Good, Manny. What do you got?
So I'm just let you know, ask you a question. First of all, I wanted to say you're a good-looking guy, and I need you to help me on something.
Okay.
Why have the Patriots invested in two high-priced tight ends if they're just going to – one's going to block for most of the year? I'm assuming the other one's not going to put up the stats that one of them is going to. So I just don't understand the whole strategy. And the wide receivers are all horrible. I'm sorry to say.
Okay, Manny. Thanks for the call. Did I just get a little action there, Murray?
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah, I think he groped you.
I got a little play. It's all right. The tight ends are because they're just going to go big and run the ball at everybody. And this is like what we talked about before. The receiver group, you know, N'Keal Harry's having this great camp, but he's still fourth on the depth chart at best and maybe sixth if you include guys they want playing special teams. They only have three real receivers, I guess you could say, because they're going to go so tight end heavy and their offensive line is a strength. So what's the offense? You know, even if Mac Jones is good and pop today, like, is he going to light the world on fire this year?
No.
It's going to be a big running offense. And, you know, are they going to be a team that can spread you out and go sideways and use the field and, you know, run and gun? No. So they're going to take advantage of small linebackers and, you know, defensive that have been built to defend spread offenses and run all over them, which makes sense. Like, I get the logic of it. It's just how far do you go with that in today's NFL, man? So that's something we hit on before, and that to me is still, like, still a real ceiling on this Patriots offense.
Yeah, so look, I think there's evidence out there to tell you exactly how far you can go, which is generally speaking, you can get into the playoffs, but you'll lose. And so I think the easy team to look at right now when you're talking about that sort of formula is Tennessee. They're a physical team with a big back. They hand the ball off a lot. The quarterback's efficient, but he doesn't light the world on fire. And how have they done the last 2 years? Not bad. Got into the playoffs, made a little bit of noise, got to the AFC Championship 2 games ago, but at the end of the day wasn't good enough because they're not explosive enough, and their passing game's not good enough. So look, as a as an intermediary step, would that be a pretty good year for the Patriots if they could get to the division round or even the AFC Championship game and then lose to, say, Kansas City? Sure, yes.
Especially after last year. That's a win.
Absolutely, it's a win. Absolutely, Murray. But ultimately, if you want to get where you want to go, which is championships, you got to be able to throw the ball.
Vicky's in Quincy on the Celts. Hi, Vicky.
Hey, guys. I have a statement, a comment, and then a question that I'll then hang up and let you guys answer. Statement is that I just absolutely love your show. I enjoy listening to you guys every day. Comment, Celtics absolutely need to cut ties with Rob Williams because he is so soft and cannot stay on the court and is so unreliable. My question to you is, do you think they would ever consider bringing Rajon Rondo back to play point and give the ball to the guys, Tatum and Brown, and just cover it for the bridge years and then let them retire with the Celtics? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Vicky. That last part, it's important. Rondo retire a Celtic? Like, break on that.
Who cares?
Where did he finished with the Lakers last year? Where was he?
With the Clippers, I think, at the end of the year.
Okay. So is he still in the league? Does he still want to play this year?
I don't even know where the hell he is.
That's a good question. I don't know if he's a free agent. I'll tell you what. You asked me this earlier in the season. I said no. I might be okay with it. Rondo is not a guy who typically cares about how many points he scores. He's more of a pass-first player. They could use that kind of guy on this team.
Someone brought up the German version of him. It was the
Schroeder.
Yeah, Dennis Schroeder. Like, that's just bring in him instead, the younger version of Rondo.
Well, but they got traded for each other initially is what happened, right? Didn't Rondo get traded? Or they were one signed the other. It was, effectively a swap. That Rondo was with the Lakers, went to Atlanta. Schroeder was with Atlanta, went to the Lakers. And then Rondo ended up with the Clippers. I'll tell you the reason I would like Rondo here better than Schroeder, however you pronounce it. I do like the fact that he's been around. I think these guys could use an older guy who's been around. And now, again, I don't know that I'm calling Rondo a leader, but I do think, he understands what it is to play in the league. At this stage, I'd roll the dice. Yeah, I'd do it.
And on Rob Williams, if someone wants to get stupid and overpay me for him, yep, sell high. Yep, I don't trust him. I don't trust that he'll ever figure it out, be durable enough. And I think they're sort of related. Just the whole thing. I'm dubious whether he'll ever grow up fully. And if someone wants to get stupid and treat him like a real piece and overpay, yeah, I'd deal him. Chris in Medford on the baseball. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Matt, just on the Rizzo trade, what are the two prospects that the Yankees gave up to get Rizzo? What are they in comparison to what the Red Sox have? I just don't see that playing the devil's advocate here. I don't see the Red Sox paying up with two prospects when they have for a rental, pretty much, when they have Tasha Stem and they could still bring him up. What do you think?
Okay, so it's a fair point that Cassis is coming, though you're not going to see him this year. But maybe Rizzo is just a rental. Let me ask you, would you give up Jaron Duran? Because I would. I'd give up Jaron Duran. It was an outfielder and a pitcher, if I'm not mistaken, that the Yankees gave up. One was their ninth-ranked prospect. The other was in the teens. The Yankees farm system is not ranked that much higher than yours is. They're a little below average. So the Yankees farm system has slipped in recent years, and the Red Sox got a little bit better this last offseason with the draft. So I think you could have made that deal. They didn't want to do it. And you could have further sweetened it for the Cubs. Not that the Cubs are looking to save money, but the Cubs ate the money on Rizzo. So if you're the Red Sox, you say, we'll give you two comparable prospects and we'll eat the money. And then maybe they send them to you. But they didn't do that. And they didn't do that with any player. And go back to their offseason. It was a passive offseason. Ownership and management has been passive with this group in terms of their investment in it, and they carried it right through the deadline. So what do they expect now?
Okay, we've got all these items on the table. The weather is hopefully clearing. The Patriots played today in a downpour, and Mac Jones still thrived in it. In fact, I mentioned the weather. Did Bill Belichick give us a weather report today, Stu? Do we have that? Pete Richard, look out, because I think Bill's ready to do the weather. You got it?
If it rains, it rains. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's hot, it's hot. It's not, then that's what it is. So
Yeah. Look out, Eric Fisher.
Next, Bill Belichick with the weather. Boo Schwegler shaking in his shorts somewhere.
Yeah. Things are
this freaking guy.
Things are looking just
what
ducky.
What? Why would you ever ask this guy about the weather? What do you think you're going to get? Hit me, Stu. Hit me again.
It's going to be a big one.
If it rains, it rains. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's hot. It's hot. It's not. Then that's what it is. So.
Yeah, about sums it up. No,
I've been here a long time, and I've seen a lot of big ones.
But anyway, the tug of war. The tug of war continues down at Gillette. Reactions to Cam Newton and Mac Jones's day, and Cam Newton's reaction as well to that, I think, all very telling. We'll get to it right after these words.
It's a big one.
Boston's home for sports. Filger and Mads, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No thanks.
Felger and Naz.
Those guys are always trouble. I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I think it's going to have to take a mistake or, you know, blunders, crapping down his leg, whatever it is by Cam Newton to lose the starting job. That's what I'll say. Yeah, welcome back. It's good to be back together.
Crapping his bed and crapping down his leg at the same time, standing on the bed. And
yes.
Crap all
yeah. It'll, to me, would take that kind of thing. First off, you and I both know New England's reluctant to play young players. They make them earn their way. They have to know everything. And as smart as we know Mac Jones is and everything like that, this is the quarterback position. You know, the second aspect I look at to where, you know, I see some people on TV going, oh, well, Mac Jones, you know, they love him, like you said, and this is going to be a running team, and they're going to get the 3rd and 5 a lot, and then he'll pick you apart and do those things. Okay, I understand that. But let's go back to what we talked about a lot in the spring. I mean, Cam Newton's going to be a different quarterback in this system this year. He's had a full year now, finally, to digest it all. He has a full offseason where McDaniels can talk to him. And really, for McDaniels' sake, he's had a full offseason in a year to really know what Cam Newton's all about so he can formulate the offense the correct way around him. So I just look at it as like Cam Newton's going to have to mess this up for Mac Jones to be the starter.
Chris Sims crapping the bed while standing up in the bed. Unfortunately, I have some experience with that, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
All right.
So
I'm gonna get that story off.
You wonder. It's a doozy. So you have to wonder: is that starting to happen? There's Chris Sims and Mike Florio who have been big on the Cam Newton camp here for a while. So the tug of war down there continues. And I sort of even talk about the media coverage, you know, that sort of tug of war, which I find every bit as entertaining, Mass, obviously. You know, there's clearly guys that are Newton, clearly guys that are Jones, and we think Josh McDaniels is big for Mac Jones, and are there guys who are aligned with Matt McDaniels, and like that whole thing I absolutely love. And the Florio Sims guys, for some reason, are big Cam Newton guys. So he says it's going to take a lot for Cam Newton to lose the job. Do you still agree with that?
Yes. Yep, I do. I think that in order for, if we're talking week one, yes. In other words, I think in order for Jones to overtake Newton, Newton is going to have to be complicit in his own demise, which, by the way, I don't completely rule out because I think Cam Newton is capable of being complicit in his own demise. Do I think that, again, I'll just say, I don't think Newton's going to be the start of week one. But if it's close and then Newton plays badly during the regular season, at the start, especially, I think him, Newton, Jones being close to Newton and breathing down his neck will make a difference. It will lead Bill to pull the plug quicker than he normally would have.
So it's obvious a lot of people, including us, are rooting for Mac Jones. I mean, I happen to think it will be Cam Newton, so I guess, I mean, I could root for my take. But if I'm just rooting for what I want to watch, I'm rooting for Mac Jones to be out there. It's clear that Scott Zolak is also in that camp. We played this before, but I enjoyed it so much. Zolak was joined today by Ted Johnson on the Zolak and Bertrand program, and they're obviously live at training camp. So as they're doing the show, they're sitting there watching the field, and they're watching what is going on. And again, I think Zoe had a bodily function omit from himself watching Mac Jones. And again, I think he's willing this to happen a little bit, because listen to how excited Scott Zolak got, all these guys got, with a throw here from Mac Jones. And they were starting off talking about N'Keal Harry and how he's having a good camp, and that's sort of where this clip starts. Go ahead and roll it, Jimmy.
Slappy. Some big throws by Mac Jones downfield to N'Keal Harry, who we just talked about.
Different player.
Different guy.
I didn't see the beginning of the route. It looked like a 9 route, just straight down on the sideline in double coverage. Mac hit him on a 50-yard strike.
It's a hell of a
for
throw.
A touchdown, and you could just tell N'Keal Harry is very excited.
We hear and read everything. This guy got crushed.
Oh,
crushed. Oh my God!
Oh, that was a quarterback.
Oh, was that a dime?
That was Mac
Jones on another deep one down the right side in the driving rain.
You know, so.
Wow, is that a dime?
Wow. Isn't that what you want to see?
I know. I've been here for about
stop. So that was. That was when Mac Jones had a good throw.
Yep.
Again.
Oh, my God.
A throw so good, it completely disrupts the conversation.
It takes much with Zoe. Yeah, but not
right,
again.
Right, exactly.
Oh, no, he was very eager to show us his O face.
Oh, my God.
Hardy got swept up there, too, a little bit. Oh, my God. So if you're rooting for Mac Jones, you have to be rooting against Cam Newton, right? So
yes.
Shortly after that, they continue the conversation, and I think Cam Newton has a bad one. And listen, how they reacted to Cam Newton.
Wow, is that a dime?
Isn't that what you want to see?
All I know, I've been here for about 90% of the snaps and practices, and I just tell you what I feel. And I missed that one. And I just thought, late. So late. So bad Cam, throw, Cam. Okay.
So Cam Newton just took over. And
do you see the now?
Yeah, the double pat.
Held the ball forever and then threw what was probably an interception.
I don't know why more and more of the beat guys aren't talking about the bad decisions that Mac Jones makes are aggressive, anticipatory decisions that it might be there, but it might not. But the ball, bottom line, is coming out. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get hit. Cam waits until he sees a guy get open, and then it's too late.
Right.
And that's where the problems start for him, just like right there.
It was so the defensive player just batted the ball down to Cam Newton threw.
Aguilar was open by 2 seconds, and it was late.
Late. So all of a sudden, late. You're late, Cam. And I just love that. I think how most of us feel, right?
Tell you what I feel.
And did you hear the part, like, it's toward the beginning, Jimmy, with a bad throw, where he actually says, bad, Cam.
Like all I know, I've been here for about 90% of the snaps. It's that one. And I just thought, late. So late.
Bad throw, Cam. It's like he's talking to his puppy or his toddler.
Late. So late. So bad Cam, throw, okay. Cam. So
bad, Cam. Bad.
So that's how it's going. They were all sort of saying the same thing. And then afterwards, Cam Newton was not himself, meaning not the guy that was, last year he was great post-game, great in all of his media availabilities, kept a stiff upper lip and kept it positive and always did and said the right thing and played the game. And, you know, it was maybe his greatest strength is how he handled himself publicly last year.
He was mopey today.
Today, not so much. He was kind of mopey. We'll play some examples coming up. But, you know, so what's he mopey about? And we also have some, maybe some intel. Jimmy's phone heard what, Stu? What did you hear there?
Cam Newton was distant in the locker room today. It was the most detached he's been this camp. He was visibly bothered by today. It seems like today was the day he realized he was in a quarterback competition.
So, again, we'll play some clips from the presser where I definitely felt he was distant, detached, defensive, all those things. And that was not him last year, man. He was just the opposite publicly. And today I saw that finally, like, what – so is it just the frustration of having another bad day, realizing he's in a real fight for his job, or does he think that he's not being put in the best position to succeed? Because I think he would have a case there. And, oh, by the way, I'm not saying he deserves it. I'm just telling you in his mind. Because – Mac Jones continues to get more of the throwing reps, you know, as you really bore down into who's getting the snaps and where. Cam Newton is starting with the ones almost every time and is the first guy out. But Mac Jones is getting a lot of reps. But when they're throwing reps, it feels like it's more Mac Jones than Cam Newton. Like, for example, Tuesday, when Mac Jones had a bad day, Cam Newton had a good one. It was mostly running game stuff. And so Cam Newton got the lion's share of the reps for that, and that helped him in the few passing attempts that he had, and he had a really good day. Thursday, I'm reading from Tommy Kern on NBCSportsBoston.com. Today, there was a hell of a lot more throwing and a hell of a lot more reps for Mac Jones, and he had a performance far more in keeping with his work on every day that wasn't Tuesday. Accurate, on time, efficient. Kern says, what does it mean? Long term, not much. Nothing that happened last week, nothing that happens this week will be referenced in September. But short term, Jones keeps stringing together positive days. That allows the coaching staff to keep putting more on his plate. The arrow is pointing up. And maybe Cam Newton looks at it and says, well, how do you expect me to compete if you're not giving me the same amount of throwing attempts as the other kid? Or maybe he's saying, if I'm the starter and I'm to get ready for week one, how am I supposed to get better and get ready for week one if you're giving the other kid all this work? I don't know. This is what happens when you have two quarterbacks and they're competing against each other, this sort of stuff. And I think it's come here to New England, and Cam Newton's demeanor today and Jimmy's reporting shows me that.
Well, this is how it should be. This should be a real quarterback competition. The job isn't yours just because of things that Bill said to you. I love hearing all this, but that's definitely has to be what it is that Cam looks at these last couple of days and like, wait a minute, I thought I was quarterback QB1 here, the starting quarterback of this team, and why is this kid getting all my reps?
I have a question for you for when we come back for the next segment.
Do you want to ask it, then we answer?
No, I want to ask it because I don't want people to know what it is. I don't want you to know what it is and have time to think about it.
Oh, okay, good. Maz is going to stump me with a question. Trying to. He's getting out ahead of facilitation there. You see what he's doing? I like it.
No. I'm way ahead.
Okay, we'll do this after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
And I just thought, late. Oh, so late. So bad throw, Cam.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The rep distribution. A lot of reps are going to Mac, and you're doing a lot of watching at different junctures. What's your appraisal on that? Thanks, bud.
I don't get involved in the reps. I just do what I'm asked, and I just go from there as far as trying to maximize as much as I possibly can when I'm in there. That's the only thing that I control, and that's what I will continue to do.
That was a good question by Tommy Kern. Can we cut out the first 45 seconds of it or so? It was kind of rambling, and then it got interrupted by Nesson. Didn't have their volume down, and they got interrupted, and kind of a cluster of a question with the technology and everything. But Cam answered that on the level. I mean, that's a tough question. You're not getting a lot of reps in a lot of cases. What's it like sitting there watching Mac Jones? Cam answered that one okay, and that was early on. But he was defensive and weird in this one. And I say that because, again, he's been so perfect in the post-game settings. And it just wasn't him today. He had a, you know, the usual big stupid hat on, but he sort of had it over his eyes. Did you see it? Did you see what he looked like?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
His eyes were kind of hidden.
Yeah, he was hanging his head is what he was doing. He was sort of hanging his head, tilting it forward, which is why you couldn't see his face. He was literally hanging his head.
Excellent, Maz. That's why you're a writer, right? So he was literally hanging his head, and the shadow was kind of covering his eyes, and it was just, and it sort of continued from there. But before I give you more examples, Maz, what's your question?
Okay, so you said this in the last segment about how it seems like Mac Jones was getting more of the reps in the passing game. Cam was getting him in the running game. So I immediately go to what we were talking about yesterday. Do you think there's any chance that Bill's actually entertaining this idea of using them situationally?
Yes.
Ugh.
But we're parsing words here now because you said, do I think there's a chance? Yes, I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance. Do I think they'll do it? No. Would I want them to do it? No. But is there a chance that Bill thinks about this? Yes.
Of course he does.
I think there's a chance he thinks about this.
Yep. Oh, boy.
Yep. And he has running game packages, passing game packages, and just because I go, because again, I mean, what are the odds? I mean, 5%, 10%? So I'm not, but you just asked, is there a chance?
I just don't know how that would end up working in terms of a sustainability factor, because again, Cam Newton, given his status in the league, former MVP, all of that, how he carries himself. You think he's going to end up, you know, acquiescing to that job? You're our gadget guy we're going to bring in the red zone? Like, it might work for a few weeks, but at some point he's going to be like, oh, enough of this.
So let me tell you, like, I think Bill would be challenged by the thought of it on the field, which is like, you know, this, not many teams do this, and it's unconventional, but if anyone can do it, I can do it because I'm me, you know? The reason he wouldn't is kind of the thing you just hit on there, Murray, which is like, how do the players react to it? How does the locker room react to it? You know, because I think Bill's actually pretty good at factoring in human nature when it comes to his team and how he manages a lot of things. And that would be a big impediment, you know? In Cam Newton's pouty that he's losing reps in practice, what's it going to be like when he's, you know, when he's actually, you know, relegated to 1A or he's relegated to the Taysom Hill role? Like, how's he going to respond to that? And then what's that going to mean for the locker room where he's really popular and guys gravitate towards him and like him and he's still a cool kid, you know, in class? And I think like that's a thing that Bill would say. I'm not messing with any of that, you know. But would he entertain it, Maz? Yeah, sure. Yeah. You know, people forget year one. He threw Michael Bishop in there for, you know, these kind of goofy series. It's all wiped away to history. But in the year 2000, when they slogged through that year with Drew Bledsoe, and he was no big fan of Drew Bledsoe, Bishop was still on the team. And Belichick and Charlie Weiss would screw around with Michael Bishop plays. I don't know how many snaps he ended up getting or how many plays, you know, but I remember it. I remember it. He was out there. So anyway, we'll see what that's like going forward. But more of Cam Newton's sort of odd defensiveness, you know, in this thing. So Curran, after that long, clunky question that, again, we edited out with the Nesson interruption, tried it again. He made another run at Cam, and I think we saw, you know, Cam get his backup immediately. Number three, Jimmy.
And just on – I'm sorry, it was a crappy question. Last week compared to this week, ball's coming out quicker, as you said it would. Am I seeing what you're feeling?
As far as what?
The ball wasn't coming out as quickly in week one. You said it was going to improve. It was early in camp. It seems as if that has absolutely been the case. Quicker this week, ball's coming out, boom.
I mean, the thing for me and everybody else is just to keep improving.
Okay, so and then he goes on to a long, boring answer, but like the question was pretty straightforward. Is the ball coming out quicker? He's like, what do you mean? So it's like kind of a straightforward question with a weird sort of pushback right out of the chute.
Standoffish. Yep, standoffish. And I think this, that – go ahead, sorry.
No, you go.
I was going to say, I think Newton, A, knows he didn't have a good day. People asked him early on about last year. I think deep down Newton probably feels like the people here don't want me to be the quarterback. And he's right. He's right. So, again, but I think in some way this will give Bill the answer he wants. And I think he wants this answer. I keep coming back to this, but I think it's a big question. How's Newton going to react to the adversity?
Okay, today not so great. Here's another example. Real innocuous question from Mike Reese about the offense. Not just one player, but the full offensive unit running laps when something goes wrong. Number five.
This is more of a general question. Those who come to Patriots practice will see players or sometimes full units running laps around the field. I was just curious, what has your experience been like with that? In your career, is this like a new thing to see since you've come to the Patriots from last year?
What do you mean from last year?
So when you got here, this has been something Bill has done for a long time. I didn't know if you've ever been part of a team that did that before, that had players or units run laps. And sort of what has your experience been like with that?
Well, I'm going to do what the team does. I think I'd be looking a little crazy if everybody takes off and, you know, I'm not. So it doesn't matter if I was used to it, accustomed to it or whatever. You know, if the team does it, then I'm doing the same thing.
Okay, so, like, that's a weird answer. Somebody was asking.
Like, yeah, he's asking if it's different from where he's been before.
And he pushed back on last year. He's like, what do you mean last year? It's like the promo we run. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, what was it different than last year or previous year? It's a very straightforward question.
It's like he was being purposely dense there.
Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Is it different than last year or your past experience? So that was the question, and the answer is, well, the rest of the team run, and I'm going to run. And like, he didn't even answer the question. It was weird. It was defensive weird. It's like, you know, it's like argument you get with your wife. It's like,
yeah,
no.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? That's not what I asked. Well, what do you mean? It's just like, have you done this in the past? Like, okay, number six. Also, very simple question. How is your prep for this preseason game different than in the past, or how are you preparing for the preseason opener a week from today? Number six.
Cam, obviously both you and the team have had more preparation time together than you did in 2020 with in-person OTA, mini camp, and training camp. Now with the first preseason game coming up in just over a week's time, especially not having any preseason contests last year, how will your preparations move forward in the next few days, and will they be any different from in years past?
It's still training camp, you know, and with that mentality is just to keep taking each day to get better. You know, it's not, I don't know if this is a trick question or anything else. Like, that's all it is. So
trick question. Like, how are you preparing for the first preseason game? And you didn't have a preseason last year. So how is it different?
I don't know if this is a trick question or anything else. Like,
trick question. You know, unless I said this earlier, unless that super sneaky and is trying to drum out of Cam Newton, are you going to even start this game? Like, are you preparing as the say that? Which I don't give that reporter credit. No, all due respect. I mean, I don't know who it is, but I think it was probably just that generic question. And he's like, trick question, huh? So, like, Cam Newton was all sorts of defensive weird today. And I just say, based on it off his performance last year, where he was so in those settings, the things are.
Yeah, the mic's breaking up a little, Murray, as you know.
We almost made it the whole show.
Well, so that answer right there, that answer's paranoid. That's a paranoid answer. That's a guy saying, like,
they're all out to get me.
Yeah, what are you asking me, a trick question? Is that what that is? That's a trick question. He's paranoid. I was going to say, on some level, I think he looks at it and says, they drafted this kid number one, and the media doesn't want me to be the quarterback of this team. They bring up last year after he had a bad day. I think he's hearing the footsteps. That's what I think it is.
Okay. Meanwhile, you asked me before, do you think Bill would ever do the two quarterback thing? And, you know, I brought up Bishop in 2000. I just went back and looked at it. You know, Bishop played 8 games that year, and not that he had a big workload, but he threw 9 passes. He had 1 touchdown and 1 interception. I was there. You know, I covered the effing team. And I was certainly at this game. But I don't – can you tell me who Michael Bishop threw the touchdown pass against and when that came?
So, again, which year? 01?
2000.
2000.
2000. Oh,
God.
Hmm.
No idea.
So it was a home game against Indy that they won in week 6. Does anyone remember this?
No. Nope. No, 2000 was a blur.
They were 5-11.
I mean, I don't.
They blew.
I mean, but 2000, I remember they were 0-4. They went out to Denver. They won in Denver and then came home and beat Indy. Like, I remember that sequence. But Bishop played against Indy, threw a touchdown pass in a 24-16 win over Indy, and so it was actually a factor in that win. I don't remember that.
Me neither.
So he had 7 rushing attempts, 9 passing attempts, threw a touchdown, threw an interception. So Bill has dinked around with this before. That's all I'll say just to answer that question.
Great.
All right. Final word comes your way next. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Before we get to today's peak stupidity on the show, an answer for you, Mike. That Michael Bishop touchdown was right before halftime against Indianapolis. It was a Hail Mary that was thrown to touchdown Tony Simmons.
Okay, so I was going to say the only pass I really remember him throwing was the Hail Mary against Miami in the last week of the year when they brought everybody back on the field. Remember this? Where they ended the game too early. Everyone went in the locker room. They had to bring them all back out, and he had Bishop throw a Hail Mary that failed. He was like the designated Hail Mary guy. So that I remember. I don't remember the actual play of Tony Simmons coming down with it. But anyway, there you go.
Well, I'll send you the YouTube link, which has been sent to like nine times now. Guys, we got it. All right.
Good Patriots fans out there.
Yes, the peak stupidity in today's show came when Mike tried to pronounce Spencer Dinwiddie's name.
About the Beal thinking man emoji thing that, you know, we really got too late in the show yesterday? Did he do that just for Spencer Dinwiddie?
Dinwiddie.
Like, really? Dinwiddie. Whatever. That guy. Like that's what that was all about?
That's what I believed it was, yeah.
It feels that way.
I mean, well, that's a lot of...
Sorry to burst your bubble, but...
Yeah, really? Like, that's got to be, you know... Dinwiddle.
Witty.
Dinwiddie?
Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie. He's not emoji worthy. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
He's not... You can't play that game with Spencer Dinwiddie. I mean, good player. Like, I know I can't pronounce the name, but I mean, I understand what he is. It's like I've been butchering the name for 48 straight hours. It's pathetic.
Sounds like something you would call someone as an insult.
Absolutely.
Dinwiddle.
Yeah.
No question.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.